1 Timothy chapter 6. We have been going through Sunday evenings and looking at what's not for sale in our lives. Not for sale. Last week we continued with the series, and I apologize we weren't able to record and be online, but I appreciate you tuning in this evening. Last week we were in Hebrews chapter 12, talking about that my race to run is not for sale. You can't have my place in the race, and looking unto Jesus, keeping our focus on Him. Now, as we kind of wrap it up here in this number of messages on this topic in the month of January, we've seen some things, and I want to close it with this evening. Notice 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20. At the end of this letter, Paul says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane, vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. But that first phrase there, keep that which is committed to thy trust. We looked at several things that we're supposed to keep instead of sell, right? In Proverbs 23:23, he says what? He says, keep. It's not for sale. Buy the truth, sell it not. We looked at, he says later, he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep some things. You know that. And tonight here, Paul tells a young man by the name of Timothy to keep that which has already been committed to his trust. There's several things that have been committed to Timothy. Now notice, if you will, if you turn back a page to chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, and what he says to him here, he says in verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou, notice, an example of the believers. Here's some things that were committed to Timothy by Paul that he says to keep. And you can be an example in these areas in word, conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Several directives here given to Timothy that we're to keep and to follow and to walk in. All of us have been committed something. I don't know if you've ever had something committed to your trust before. You may have run a large company. You may have run a corporation. You may have done something of that nature. You may be very important and prominent at work. Our dear mothers here this evening, they've got a job, don't they? They run a household, and they take care of the kids, and they care for the home. What a task that is. But all of us have been committed something given to us. You may remember that day back maybe in high school, or if you took a higher education maybe in a college setting, and you, after much study, preparation, and many, many years and semesters of trial and error and difficulty, you finally got that horribly ugly black gown, you remember that? You had to put on, and that funny looking hat with the little tassel, but you love it. You look forward to it because you love it, man. I mean, it's been $60,000, but hey, let's go for it, you know, much more for many others. But you think about it, and you finally walk across, and they hand you that diploma, don't they? And they give you some kind of talk or pat you on the back or whatever they do. But what they say, what I was told in essence was, we're committing to you this here. Now go forward and da-da-da-da-da. We're committing to you. You were committed. You were given something that you're supposed to keep and to carry on and go forward, whatever the case is for you. What have you been committed tonight? I hope you're not committed to an institution somewhere. One fellow said, you know, marriage is an institution, but nobody wants to be locked up in an institution, do they? No. You think about tonight. We have an opportunity to serve God. Now notice some of these with me tonight. Number one, what's been committed to my trust is my walk with God. My walk with God. Number two would be my marriage and my home. And then thirdly would be my vocation, my duties, my ministry. Now as we look at this, number one, notice my walk with God. Very important. Number one, for me, what's committed to me? My walk with Him. Now, Paul tells Timothy again, he says, let no man despise thy youth. We know Timothy was not a teenage boy. He was not referring to that. He was referring to that there are some that will look at your younger age and they will naturally despise you just because of who you are. Well, he can't do it, has no experience, da-da-da-da. But Paul says, you know, to take care of those naysayers, to get rid of those people, you make sure and be an example. You be an example of the believers, of the believers. Oh, what a joy it is in a church to have young people that are the examples. Now, that's rare, isn't it? Few and far between, but you have young people that are examples. I'm thankful for the children in our church and teens in our church, I have to say now, that we have, because they truly have a good spirit. They have a sweet spirit. We tell any of these young ones to do anything. They may, well, why? But they'll get with it. They'll say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, I'll go. What do you want me to do? I'll handle that. They have a sweet spirit. They show forth, and I'm just trying to kind of pat their backs a little bit, that they have an example. They show an example of the believers. Have any of your children ever corrected you on something, and it was something that was biblical, and you have to say, oh, yeah, you're right. You're right, son. You're right, daughter. You're right. I understand that we ought to be an example. Let me say, with our walk with God, our walk with God is very important. You know that. You know that. But what he says here, he gives us some things. Number one, in word. Now, not in the word of God, although we should be. It's in word. The way that we speak, the way that we carry ourselves, what we say and how we say it. We could say in the word as well. The word ought to be, as we said this morning in the book of Colossians 3, that it ought to dwell in us richly. The word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means it's permeating. It's coming. It's overflowing. When you talk about things of the Bible. You talk, people say, boy, he sounds like the Bible. He's been spent time in the Bible. She has spent time in the Word of God. Why? Because he is an example. Notice this, in the Word. Now, seeing this, the Word. What are the words that you speak? What are the words that you use? Oh, how convicting that is. Words that we have, words of covetousness, words of work. We have to talk work. Words, words, words. The other day, trying to communicate with a fella on the job site. He speak poquito inglés. And I says, you understand. And I'm trying to learn. My wife is trying to teach me Spanish. I can't figure that out for the life of me. Have you ever tried, remember in school? I mean, I'm embarrassed, but I was telling Brother Adam, I think he took semesters of it too. And I said, I had to take 2 semesters of Spanish in college. I don't know why, but I did. And I didn't get anything out of it. I mean, I can say like 1 verse out of the Bible in Spanish. But that's about it. And I know all the bad words. Okay, don't ask me, but you catch on to that. But anyways, I said, I don't know what, you understand. So what happens is, for me, I start talking louder. And that's kind of insulting to him. And I caught myself and So I tried to do hand gestures, you know. This will be that right there. Good. Yeah. Good. Hey. Good. No, not good. Oh, okay. So I call, honey, can you talk real quick to this fella? she doesn't like to do that. Okay. But anyways, it's hard, isn't it? Communication is difficult sometimes. Those of you, maybe some of you will start learning, some of our children maybe start learning another language and trying to get in on that. And all of those things. They said English is the hardest language to learn. I don't know, but I think outside of Chinese probably or something like that. But you understand, some of you dear folks that have tried that before. And you think about here, the words that we're using, the word that we use, is it coming along, going along, is it representative of the Word of God, obviously, and of Christ? In conversation, he says. Now, the word conversation, you understand, in the Bible does not talk about or speak of our conversation that we have with people. It's talking about a lifestyle. The lifestyle that we carry, that we represent Christ and all of those things as we communicate with other people. In conversation, your lifestyle is becoming of the gospel. It's becoming of the word. It's becoming of Christ and what we do, how we carry ourselves, where we go, etc. He says in charity. I don't need to explain that. You know what charity is. It's a biblical definition of love. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about all that truly charity is. The world has a false view today of love, of what it is, and they define love in a wrong way, in a perverted way, don't they? And we know what charity is. It's a biblical definition. Paul talks about that later on as well. And spirit, a spirit, lowercase s, spirit, talks about my spirit, not the Holy Spirit, my spirit. What kind of spirit do I have? What do I have? What kind of spirit do I carry with me? Is it a good spirit? They say, oh, she's got a good spirit about her. He's got a good spirit. Oh, they've got a cranky spirit about them. You know, whatever the case would be. What's our spirit like? Paul was known to have a sweet spirit, a good spirit. We know Moses carried with him a good spirit. He was known as the meekest man on earth, wasn't he? That was said by God. And so you understand that, knowing this, the kind of spirit we have. He says, Timothy, you can have a good spirit about you as an example. You lead the way in the church with your spirit. I'm so thankful for some of our folks have had such a sweet spirit, an encouraging spirit. In faith, he says next, in faith, you know that. Have a faith. Step out by faith, a strong faith. We can do it. We can go forward. I'm reading through and just got through the book of Numbers and now into Deuteronomy. And you know, he sent out the spies, didn't he? And he sent them out. And the 12 spies went out. They were out there for a while. And they came back. And they said, well, give us a report. And they said, man, it's a great land. Beautiful, luscious. The grapes are size of melons, man. You got to see this place. But what? Oh, they're big. Those people are big. They look mean. They're hairy. They're ugly. And they carry big spears. And we are as grasshoppers in their sight. Now, by the way, they did not say that to the 12 spies. Oh, you guys are grasshoppers. They said that of themselves. You know, sometimes we think people say things about us that they don't say. We think people think things about us. They're not thinking. And they came back and said, oh, no. It's too much. It's too much. We can't do it. And the two guys, Joshua and Caleb, said, hey, we can do it. Come on, we can do it. If God be for us, who can be against us? God, look at all that God's already done. Look how he destroyed Pharaoh and parted the sea and took care of us and fed us manna and gave us water and took care of our little ones. And oh, no. And it says those 10 others, they stirred up, didn't they? Stirred the people up. Got them real anxious and nervous. And they said, no, we're not going in. And Moses had to, again, show them the right way. But you think about the spirit with which they had, the faith which with they had as they went forward. And you know, Joshua would lead the nation of Israel into many battles and bring them into the promised land. But do we have that spirit? Do we have that faith? And then he says in purity. That purity about us. Paul says later in Philippians 4:8, he says, in one of the ways of our minds, he says, let this mind be in you. And he says, think on these things. And one of the things was purity. It's pureness. Have a pure mind. We said a couple Wednesday nights ago as we went through the book of Titus, he says to the young men of the church, he says, be sober-minded. Because one of the first things that young men struggle with is their mind, having a pure mind. It's a dirty mind. It's a fantasy mind. And he says, have a pure mind. The pure shall what? See God, Jesus said. There's a purity about it. And knowing that and understanding that, he says later in 5 and verse 22, he says, keep thyself pure. Don't be involved in other men's sins, but keep thyself pure. It's up to me. I said that this morning, but my walk, nobody else can walk for God but me. Nobody else can do that. And secondly, nobody else can be pure for God and to God but me. You can't be pure for me. That's something. That's a personal responsibility. But our world sees it differently. And they skew that. And they say, no, you can be promiscuous and sick-minded and you'll come out okay. Be pure. 1 John 3:3 talks about the purity. On and on we could go. But notice the walk with God. Where's your walk tonight with Him? Are you an example of the believers? Are you a shining example? Not pompous and proud and boasting, but you saying, I'm an example. I want to be an example to the young ones, to the other married couples, to the other men and other ladies of the church. Oh, it starts at the top. We see that. Let me say secondly here, it's our marriage and our home. A marriage in our home. You see this and we understand and know this. And let me just talk about this for a minute. Ephesians chapter 5. Let me turn there, if you will. Ephesians 5. And notice with me what he has to say here about the home. Because our home and our marriage is not for sale. My walk with God is not for sale. I'm going to do my dead level best to walk with Him like I should in purity, in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith. Now, notice what he says. He says in verse 21 of Ephesians 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. he goes on and he talks about it. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Gave himself for it. Men ought to love their own wives, verse 28, as their own bodies. He loveth his wife, loveth himself. Loveth himself. He goes on in chapter 6, as you know, and talks about children. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, amen. Okay, yes, they're shaking their head. Obey your parents. Miss Deanne, we were just talking about that, weren't we? She's, you ought to talk to them, because she, Miss Deanne, said, I have a command to obey, even now, don't we? Honor thy father and mother, which is first commandment with promise. So my marriage and home is not for sale. We know that. Colossians 3 talks about the same thing. I have a responsibility. I have responsibilities in the home as a father, as a husband, raising the kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As a husband, loving the wife and caring for her. We read in Titus how he tells the wife to love the husband. And we see that. And the wife is then to consequently, again, reverence her husband, respect the man. Proper setup in the home, you know that and understand it. And all of those things. But again, we see here, the home. You can't have that. It's not for sale. Oh, what are we allowing into our homes? And I say this to myself, shame on me, allowing things into the home, allowing certain things to go on in the home that shouldn't, allowing certain entertainment to come into the home. The kids, you know, can we watch this movie and that movie? There's, most of them are so innocent, and we do watch movies all the time. But there's some things that those stinking Hollywood people try and just twist and squeeze into even some of those little innocent movies, don't they? We got to be careful. We can't be sticks in the mud, you know, about certain things. Y'all, you're splitting hairs, Brother Tim, about certain things. I know. But you understand, our home is precious. Our home is a sanctuary. Our home is where we come and we sit down and we relax and we get to be ourselves. And we come to church and put a tie on it. Brother Tim here. Mm-hmm. Yes. How can I help you? And my kids are looking at me like, No, what kind of example are we? What are we setting up? I'm so thankful for the integrity and true purity of our church, the people of our church. And we're just real. I love that about our church. We're just real with each other. And I thank God for that. But you think about our homes. Husbands, are we doing our part in the home? And wives, are we doing our part in the home? Are we doing what we should be doing? Kids, are we doing, children, what we should be doing, fulfilling our part, doing our duty, and every one of us picking up a side, if you will, and carrying our weight, carrying our load? I feel so sorry. We talked to a lady just a while back about that. She has single mother, has kids at home, single mother. And the weight she has to bear and the burden she bears. She's got to play both roles. She's got to take care of business on both sides. And the challenges that it comes with, and you think back and go, oh, I pray for these folks, I pray for these families, but if we do it God's way, we'll see such a difference. God's way is much better. How he likens the family, how he likens the marriage to the beautiful picture of the church. Jesus Christ being that bridegroom and us, the church, being the bride. And I believe very soon, by the way, you know that we're going to join him in a great marriage ceremony. And then we're going to have a great celebration afterwards. He's going to invite everyone to the reception. RSVP if you can. A great reception. It's going to be a joyous time. We're going to get to sit down with all the saints, enjoy each other. But especially we get to enjoy the bridegroom. We get to enjoy Jesus Christ as a church. Oh, I can't wait for that day. Are you there? Are you ready? But anyways, your marriage, your home. You understand what that means, and I know you do, and I understand that. But I must be cautious. I must preach this and tell you and encourage you to stay focused on that. Don't allow things into the home that shouldn't be there. Don't give up. Don't give in to the world's ways. Don't give in to those things. You can disagree with other people on certain standards and morals and things and rules and regulations of the home. That's okay. And other families may not be so strict, or they may be a little loosey-goosey where you're a little more strict, or vice versa. But you get alone with God and say, God, what do you want for our home? What do you want for our marriage? What do you want for us? Because why? It's not for sale. And Lord, I'm not going to give that to the world. I'm not going to give it. Slowly we may and can, if we're not careful, we can begin to fill out the for sale sign and just slowly slip it up on the window of our home, if you understand that. And we can slowly let it fade, let it go, and we can eventually let it be sold. And we ought to not let it be sold. Let me say thirdly here, you know that our duties, our ministry. Notice with me in Acts chapter 24. I'm sure you've read this many times, but Acts chapter 20, he says in verse 24, Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he says, none of these things move me. Paul says, neither count I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy. And notice this, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Every one of us tonight have been given a ministry of some kind. You say, well, I'm not a minister. I don't work in the church. No, all of us have been given a ministry. All of us. We all have a part to play. As we saw again several Wednesday nights ago in the book of Titus, Titus talks about that. Or Paul tells Titus that, about there's different roles in the church. There's young people. There's young men, young women. There's older women, older men. There's the pastor in the church. There's others. Everyone has a role to play. And every one of us have a ministry that we are to fulfill. And Paul says, I have completed the ministry. I've fulfilled my duty. And I've done what I'm supposed to do. And I want to finish my course with joy. He says there will be things that try to move you. There will be things that try and push you out of the way. There will be things in your life trying to get you to put your ministry, your duty up for sale. No, it's not for sale. It's not for sale. We go through and let me turn to 2 Corinthians 4. You don't have to turn there unless you want to, but 2 Corinthians 4. And you understand that I could go through most of the chapter. But he says there in 2 Corinthians 4, we have a ministry, he says. This ministry of reconciliation. You know he talks about that. This ministry that we've been given, he says. We've been received, verse 1, this ministry, we've received it. We don't faint. We no longer get weary and faint in these things. Why? We know what we're supposed to do. We've been given this to reach others for Christ and to fulfill our duty for Him. It's not for sale. I have a duty. I have a ministry. You know, sometimes to serve God, it's very difficult. And sometimes you don't have this great love. You don't get super excited to come to church. And that's okay. I know that. Yeah, it's church time. Woo, get in the car, kids. No, it's not, huh? Sometimes all of them are going, huh? It's come on, it's church time. Ah, that's how we are. We act that way too. We just don't show it. You know, sometimes it's difficult to do that. Boy, it's not easy living for Christ. We got several men in the church, and several of you ladies. I mean, you work in the world. You work with worldly people, and you work with some ungodly people. And it's not easy living a godly life around them when you want to laugh at some of those things, when you want to maybe fit in here or there. It's not easy. You think about that. Oh, my friends, tonight, we see we have a love to serve Christ. Sometimes that love can wane. We get a little weary. We get a little tired. And that's okay. That's okay. What do? We keep going. Why? Because we made a commitment already that is not for sale. My duty, my ministry, the opportunities given to me to serve Christ, God has blessed me so richly, it's not for sale. I'm not going to quit. I won't give up on Him. I won't throw in the towel. I won't give in to the ways of this world. I'm going to do what He's told me to do. I have several verses that I wanted to read. He gives this. We have a ministry to go forward for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Talking about the ministry we have here. Let me skip ahead here. I have several that I would like to read. I apologize for having these, but he says, I thank the Lord in 1 Timothy who's enabled me and he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious. It means he was a murderer. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. He said he was abundantly faithful, exceedingly faithful to me, he says. And since I understand where I came from, as I said this morning, you don't forget where you came from. When I understand where I came from and what I had before Christ, oh, the ministry becomes so much more easy. It becomes that much more of a precious gift to me. It's not for sale. you have a ministry today? Your ministry may be encouraging other people. Your ministry may be calling folks, encouraging them, helping them. Your ministry may be something of something else. You know, one of your ministries is coming and just being right where you're supposed to be. Just sitting in one of these chairs. That's a ministry. Man, that encourages a pastor. Just being, showing up, being faithful. Just coming and staying faithful to Him and doing that and knowing and sharing with us and sharing with the church. Hey, Brother Tim and church, I had a great week and I got to share the gospel with my sister or brother. Hey, I got to be a testimony at work. Hey, the kids, we're trying to help them memorize scripture and read the Bible. And they've been praying every night and praise God for that. Boy, that's encouraging to me. You think about the ministry because everybody's grabbing a part of that and we're all carrying the weight. We're going together. And we're saying, Lord, I want to fulfill my duty. Again, as we're at that memorial service yesterday for that pastor. And it just testimony after testimony of different people. And it's talked about the ministry that he had. They said he wasn't perfect. He made mistakes. But he was faithful. He was a man of God that stood for the truth and did not give in to the whims and ways of the world. He was faithful. He stood true. And I truly believe that he made a decision years ago that said, I'm not going to let that go. I'm going to keep the truth and sell it not. I'm going to keep my heart. I'm going to buy the truth, sell it not, keep my heart. I'm going to keep what was committed to me. As he says here in 1 Timothy, keep that. Keep it. You know the context here, and I'll close out here, but the context of this letter written in 1 Timothy was Paul was basically, you know, on his way and knew his fate. He was arrested. He was about later, just very short time later, was going to be executed. We know all that he had done, and he went to Jerusalem on purpose, and they arrested him and took him all the way to Rome. And he was ready and getting ready to give his life for the gospel. And he tells Timothy, with such passion, you can hear it in his voice in verse 20. He says, O Timothy, if I could tell you just something, if I could leave you with these lasting words, he says to him, keep that which is committed to thy trust. You've been entrusted with something. Those of you tonight, you've been entrusted with maybe somebody in your life. Those of us that are married and those of us that have children still in the home, we've been entrusted with that family. We've been entrusted with these precious gifts, these souls that will live in eternity forever somewhere. We've been entrusted with them. And Paul says to Timothy, oh, Timothy, just remember to keep those things that have been committed to you. I gave you all that I told you, Timothy. I told you everything that I know. I've given you every example I know. Later in 2 Timothy, he'll tell him, you know what I went through at Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. You know how I endured those trials, Timothy. You followed me. You've seen my doctrine, my manner of life. You've watched all of it. And he says, now, Timothy, keep that. Keep it. If I can encourage you with that, leave that with you this evening. Keep that. Keep it. Lord, I've been entrusted with the Word of God, but I don't know how to read. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Lord, I don't have it in my language. Yes, we do. Well, what does that mean? I've been given a gift here in the Bible that's been committed to me. It's been put into my trust. It's been put into my trust. And I have it, and I say, well, Lord, that's been committed to me. I better do something with it. I have a church that's been given to me, a church that's been put here in our community, that we say, Lord, I'm going to be here. We were laughing earlier about what you prayed. You know, praying for a church to be here, and the church showed up. And now Miss Deanne says, oh, boy, now I got to be here every service. We laugh about that. But, you know, we've been given this church. It's been committed to our trust. We've been committed. Oh, so many things we know, and I could go on and on about it. But you know that. Are you taking your walk with God seriously tonight? Are you? Are we taking time with Him alone and getting alone with Him? Yeah, we're busy. We're tired. We're weary. We know that. And you, dear folks, work so tirelessly. I know that. But are we taking time with our walk with God? Why? Because it's not for sale. And when we cast it aside and put it down on the totem pole, if you will, we put it down on our priority list, what are we saying? It may be for sale. I don't know yet. I don't know yet. You communicate with people. Somebody put for sale maybe on Marketplace or something, and you contact them. Is this still for sale? No, it's not for sale. Then take it off Marketplace, you know, you want to say. Take it down. Take the sign down. No, we say that. No. Is my home, marriage, family? Are we making sure that people know it's not for sale? Are we making sure the world and our family members and those around us maybe that would come our way, it's not for sale? Is our duty and our ministry, we know, not for sale? Can't have it. You can't have it. No, this is mine. This is my class. This is my class I teach. These are my folks. This is mine. You can't have it. I take this very important. I prepare every Friday and Saturday prior to Sunday. This is very important to me. You can't have it. No. You can't have my ministry. Lord willing, we'll have more ministries added here in the future. You can't have it. No, this is mine. This is where I sit. This is my place. If guests come, you know, give your seat up, you know. This is mine, though. This is where I sit. This is my church. And I want to encourage you with that. This is my church. We may not be very much, but praise God, we're something. We have the love of God and the Holy Spirit here, and we're striving to serve Him. And we said tonight in prayer, we may not be a big church or have a lot of things, but hey, praise God, we can be on fire for God. This is my church. You can't have it. No. No, you can't have it. You're not going to talk about my church. You hear people talking about our church in a bad way? You know, don't be rude to them, but please don't talk about my church like that. Do you hear someone talking bad about your pastor? It's okay. You can stand up for me. Please do. Hey, yeah, no, he's not. He's kind of a bonehead, but hey, don't talk about him. You know, you're not going to talk about him like that. He's my pastor. You're not going to talk about that. I hear people talk about you folks, and I won't tell them what they said. I won't tell you what they said. No, we're not going to talk. I'm saying we got to love our church, and I'm rambling here. Sorry. Coming back to not for sale. This is my place. This is my church. This is my ministry. This is my home. This is my marriage. These are my kids. This is my walk with God. Satan, you're not going to have it. Not going to do it. Those things that are impeding and trying to draw you away, pull you away from God and spending time with Him. Ooh, no. What is it? Lord, help me. Show it to me. Bring me back. Why? Lord, help me. Buy the truth and sell it not. Don't sell it. Sadly, the man that wrote those words ended up selling the truth. Solomon ended up giving his life to pagan worship because he couldn't control himself, because he allowed sin into his life. It overtook him, and he died a horrible death outside of the will of God. The wisest, richest, most powerful man to ever live, who once pleaded with God, God, give me your heart, your wisdom. That's all I want. I don't want anything else. And that innocence with that, he died outside of the will of God. And you think about, we can take that truth today by God's grace and finish our course, as he says, with joy and the ministry he's given to me. It's not for sale, not for sale. Amen. I'll stop there tonight. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the time this evening to share your word. Once again, just I praise you for these people, these dear folks that are so faithful. And we're seeking, Lord, in the new year to reach more people. But Lord, it starts here with our core group. And I thank you for them. I pray for your help. I pray for your help personally, first and foremost, to take these things seriously. My walk with God, our home, the ministry, and make it clear to those around us, and especially our adversary, that Lord, it's not for sale. And I just praise you for the Word of God, for the church, for the, obviously, the Holy Spirit, the help you've given to us. And we do believe it. I do believe where two or three are gathered, that precious promise, Lord, you gave to us, that you're there in the midst. And I hope that we're making you proud and that we're pleasing you in all that we say and do. Again, be with us this week as all of us go our separate ways. The next week, Lord, and the days ahead, we got to go different directions. But Lord, empower us, but protect us. Be with our families, be with our children, be with our ministry, be with our marriages. And watch over us, God, that we can be an example, as was spoken there to Timothy. We love and thank you again for another opportunity to be in your house, Lord. We know that we're in your will today by being here, and we thank you that we could do that. It's the safest, most effective, most fruitful, happiest place we could be right now on planet Earth is here in your will, and we thank you for that. We love you again. Be with those that couldn't be here tonight. Again, protect them. Help them to feel better. In Jesus' name, amen.